Okay, here is the Derech Hashem, Shir 21, Sunday, Parshas Yeshev, Tez of Kislev, December 3rd, 21st Shir, and we're in Perek Dalet, and the last paragraph, Perek Yud Aleph. Section 1, Perek Dalet, paragraph Yud Aleph. Perek Dalet, very fundamental Perek. I said, and I'll say it again, after you learn Perek Dalet, Gimel and Dalet, really, Perek Hashem, really, if you're interested, to go and learn the first Perek Masulim, and you just see everything in a different light. You see the words there are very, the words, you see that Masulim Sharm is, like, in short, all the fundamental principles it teaches us in Perek Gimel and Dalet about Jesus becoming close to Hashem, to the one side, the ultimate pleasure, pleasing the Masulim Sharm. You sort of just, you know, if you learn Masulim Sharm, Perek Aleph, you take it away. That's what you see. But in the background then, how the world of way, and from how everything is in, it's not really in there, Hashem, in Perek Gimel and Dalet, Primer Dalet, I've just learned. Someone very wisely said that learning a person should make an attempt to do all the mitzvahs, even maybe the ones that are not mechuyev to technically. I don't know if that's attempt, but it would include the mitzvahs that are not mechuyev to. Maybe you can make a case if not mechuyev. You get into really philosophy now and halacha, because if you're not mechuyev, maybe your neshama doesn't have that muscle that has to be exercised. Or maybe it does. You see, women could make a bracha on mitzvahs aseishas man groma, like luluf, sukkah, shofar. On the other hand, the svaradim pasuk, they can't make a bracha. So all these things, you know. So when you're learning, when a man's learning the Shabrura, or the Tur, or the Shulchan Aruch, so, you know, it's a machloket, maybe you could learn about this, but you learn Hashem, and you read this, and you will then realize, what, are there any behind us? It's just a question of what? It's a question of, you know, those, this person, those muscles have to reap potential. And then you have all sorts of people be potter. Because I could say a sentence, a woman is potter from its sasatious mama. I could say a sentence, a katan is potter from mitzvahs. I could say a sentence, a shote is potter from mitzvahs. And I could say a sentence, a god is potter from mitzvahs. And certainly the word potter, although it means he doesn't have to do them, but there's certainly, if you have a legal mind, I understand they're not the same level of tour. A guy can't make a bracha, even according to the shitas that a woman could make. Zman Grama, nobody says that a guy make a bracha. In fact, a guy doing a mitzvah is meaningless. He does most for sure. As we know, the Ramchal will continue. We just, and the Ramchal builds everything up. And we're really at the beginning. At the beginning, it's like a physics course. And we've learned that what is the beginning of atoms and molecules. But now we're going to get into the atoms. So we're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And we just scratched the surface. We're up to like 8th grade physics, maybe 6th grade physics, in the spiritual physics of the Derech Hashem. Anyway, I wanted to show a sefer. I told you to look at the sefer. So I have a sefer called Mitzvot Secha Sha'ashu'oi, which means your playthings, literally, but it means you enjoy them. Like a child enjoys playing with a toy, we say Nidolei Tarascha Sha'ashu'oi. So this is called mitzvah, and it says Alatzorech l'kayim kol ha-mitzvah she'ef shem ha-taryak, on the need to fulfill as many of the taryak mitzvahs as we can. And it goes through like, okay, how am I going to do peya? How am I going to do shiluach ha-kein? How am I going to do petach hamor? And how am I going to do reishus ha-geis? And how am I going to do this and that? And it has pictures of, you know, gatherings where people chip in and they take part in the Reishis Hagez, and Reishis Hagez means you give the first wool. Well, not really the first wool, although it's called Reishis Hagez. It means you...
Is this contemporary, this book?
Yeah, very, very contemporary. Let's see. And of course, we thank Kanyevsky for all of his questions. Let's see. when was it printed? Tafshin Ayin Vav. That's contemporary as it'll get. And you go through mitzvahs, and you go through all the ways you can do it nowadays, and how am I going to do Trumas and Maestros? Because it's simple to put such people, Petach Hamor, Ma'aka, Matnas Aniyim, like, and you have to try to do every one. And he systematically says and talks about how it would be possible to do it, and it's sort of like 1,000 pages to say.
Who wrote it?
A fellow. Nowadays people, nowadays people write Svarim. People self-publish. Now it's nothing. People self-publish. It used to be a whole a printer and a publisher. Now you need a laptop, and that's all you need. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure who would put this out. This looks like it was self-published because it doesn't have the name of the publishing company behind it. So if you have any questions, and it says his name, tariag613mitzvahs@gmail.com. There's around a minimum of 50 new svarim that come out a week. A minimum. He has pictures of different birds that are treif and kosher because there's a mitzvah to recognize them and to know. So we fulfill the mitzvah by looking for the kashrut, for the hechsher. That's our mitzvah, but that's not really what the mitzvah is. But nice pictures. And anyway, the point of the sefer is what was brought up here. Someone brought it up, and it's very true, especially when you learn there Hashem, you learn Parag Mitzvah. Okay, well, then shouldn't we make a special effort in the world of Parag Mitzvahs? Well, here's the sefer that tells you how. Okay. Again, you might, certain areas are little dangerous areas. If a woman wants to be, for example, she wants to do that mitzvah. So then you have to back off. Sometimes it's wrong. We know a guy that keeps Shabbos as high of mitzvah. But even people, forgetting about people who are potter, people who are chayav, so there's mitzvahs in the deros. You don't come across it. So, okay. Anyway, here's proof that there is such a concept. I'm assuming in the Hakdom and the introduction, he goes through the old statement in the front, Al HaTzorech L'Kayim Kol HaMitzvah Yatariyag. So we know that logically, that someone raised here, the point that logically that would be the case if you take the Ramchal, the Derech Hashem, seriously. Okay, we'll go now to Perek Yud Aleph, which sort of sums everything up, and this is really the Mesil Sishorim Aleph, is paragraph Yud Aleph here. Nimtzolafi Kol Ma Sheik Davnu, according to everything we've been saying, Shakavona Be'emes B'chol HaMitzvahs, Tia Hapnia Eilav Yisborach Shemo, so he said before, that mitzvahs have nothing has inherent value. Everything's value is how it hooks you up with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what I mean by inherent. Inherent means not as a stepping stone to connect to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It is to draw close to Hashem, l'hiskarev lo, v'leor b'or pono. Yeah, we don't know exactly what this means, but we know it's pleasurable. We know when someone's, we know in this world, when someone smiles at us, we feel like a feeling, we feel good. Even if it's someone we don't know, passing the street, someone gives you a big smile, that's why it's a mitzvah to do that, because people feel good when they see that. And but certainly to get close to Hashem, and the more ruchni we are, the more mitzvahs, but this is even in this world. And we don't really feel it in this world, because Ramchal said we barely detect the neshama in this world. Barely, barely, barely. After the Chet of Adam Arishon, he blames it on that. We're very, very physical. It's not 50-50 anymore. And the neshama's plunged into mud, and we try to clean it off. But we do have these special moments, all of us, I would think. We do have these special moments when we feel close to Hashem, we just feel an awareness of Hashem's presence. It could be during davening, it could be when doing a mitzvah, chesed, it could be anything, it could be during a kumzitz, singing. We have these feelings in this world, but the real place to experience it is in the next world. But the point of the mitzvahs, So again, you know, he's presenting mitzvahs as so much more than do's and don'ts and earning enough points to get into to get your entry into Gan Eden. But he is presenting this as the, it's not a question of do this and you get a check and don't an X, and you get X checks the merits, how much does it get? No, it's the whole, every mitzvah wipes away certain mud from the neshama, every mitzvah connects the neshama, every mitzvah is made and geared towards being, it's even a computer with its wires, pixels, the neshama's R, which is a reflection of Hashem's R. V'amaniyam eno averos, and keeping from averos, you say, well, why do you keep from averos? Because I don't want to be punished. No. Himolayt min hezrachik mimenu, to avoid becoming rach from Hashem. That's the real punishment, is being rachol from Hashem. And the real reward is being tachlos v'amiti shebayam. The real, this is the bottom line of the mitzvahs. And each specific mitzvah is geared towards a specific role, a specific muscle, a specific area of the neshama. A specific, this muscle is the gym, some the cardiovascular system, the klal, the legs, the upper body, the arms, the different things. You know, it's there to strengthen different things and to connect it to be for reaching its potential. What he calls shleimus. Ach enyonim beprat. This is what he said. You know, this is mitzvahs in general, but then you get down to specifics. Yesh b'hem omer gadol, very deep. If he prate enyoni ha'odim la'bria. Bria also, as we said, he said in the previous paragraph, so Hashem says in Parakalit, we uplift also. The whole world is waiting for us to do mitzvahs and to uplift, and everything's connected. Also, we don't know how. This mitzvah is connected in this way, this mitzvah is connected in that way. Had Ava and Yiri, had Talmud Torah, had all these things connected in different ways. Kifi Prati and Yoni Adam, Bria, all the different myriad details of the Bria person, Moshe Zacharno Be'el. And he doesn't even get into it. This is like really mind blowing, is that he doesn't get into different people. He's talking about man and 613 mitzvahs. You know, that's a great equalizer. But then you have everybody's life. And everybody has different lives, and everybody has different nisyonos, and everybody has different strengths, and everybody has different weaknesses. So some areas of the neshama need more exercise, and that's why a person, let's say, can be in a position where they'll have to, when they're giving, their nisyon is, let's say, to give a lot of stuff, because they get into really more chassidus to use these words, that neshama needs its tikkun, by giving a lot of stuff, like snowflakes and fingerprints. So it gets even harder, because every mitzvah and every avera and then every neshama is different, and every person's life is different. And it is, and every nesayon is different. So it's really amazingly complex. But this is just, it should be inspiring for oneself. Don't worry about the whole world. We have enough worries to worry about ourselves. Am I doing, trying to reach Shleimus, in doing mitzvahs, trying to reach Shleimus? Am I connecting to Hashem? Do I have context in Yiram? Am I doing this properly? Do I know halacha enough to know that I'm doing it properly? Or am I wasting my time with all of my other things? Here he's just talking about the Prate mitzvahs. This is in Chelek Dalet. We're in Chelek Aleph of the Sefer. In Chelek Dalet, he talks a little, not a lot, I mean, a little, doesn't cover all the mitzvahs, but he talks about Shabbos, and Yom Tov, and Tzitzis, and Tfilin, and Birchas Kriyashma, and Kriyashma, and Shmona Esrei, and he describes there more explicitly the muscle that is exercised, meaning, again, it means the connection made to Hashem that this mitzvah brings about. What it clears away, when it clarifies and when it tightens the wire for the screen to be bright, for the neshama to shine with the reflective light of Hashem. Right? That's all it ever is. But Hashem is there, and we just have to position ourselves correctly. So he says, he talks about that in Chelek Daled, the Ezer HaKelis Baruch Hu. Okay. And we, Mitzvah Hashem, if we get there, you know, I learned it, I think, with you, it was on the Sukkos, very inspiring what he says about Sukkos, sitting in a Sukkah, what it does, doing Arba Minim, what it does. So we took advantage of this already. And he goes even through davening, what Sukkos is. Yeah, it's not. Everything has a very specific role to play in the development of the Shleimus of my Neshama. Okay, now we'll start Perek Hamishi. Perek Hamishi, once again, he'll start slow. When he starts slow, it seems very philosophical and very esoteric, but just like the Sefer was that way, for Perek Aleph and Beis, and then you start Gimel, and then certainly Dalet, you think, oh, now we're getting down to Lamaisa, even though it's also not Lamaisa, because the Lamaisa are the Pratim and the Pratim and the specifics, but at least, but we're getting down to a world we recognize. So here also, he wants to end up talking about Hashgacha and how Hashem runs the world. And he feels you have enough information to learn about the physics. Hashem runs the world. Nobody else runs the world but Hashem. There's no independent power, chas v'shalom, other than Hashem. He's going to talk about malachim, he's going to talk about mazalos, he's going to talk about the kochos and shemayim, he's going to talk about all sorts of things. But they're all shluchim from Hashem, and they're all channels through which Hashem functions. The minute you forget that, so to speak, and you feel it has some independent force, so even if they call it a segula, and they have beautiful pictures of Kevin Rachel, or whatever they have that month, 999, whatever they have that month as a segula, but it's a hodozara, if you don't use it just as an inspiration to connect to Hashem. Okay. So now we'll start Perek Hamishi. So again, it starts very basic. Okay, very, very basic, and it sounds like, okay, it wasn't a Gambi, but then he develops it and he makes it the Maestri. He says, I don't know how we're going to use this information. So he talks about Chelke Habriya. Now he's going to describe, we're going to talk about the components of the Bria. The Bria is not what we see. That's the first sentence we're going to see. The Bria is not only what we see, that's only half the Bria. It's not even half, but so to speak, half. Then there's the Olam Haruchni, which is real. We don't think of it as real. We think of real as something we sense with our five senses. So that's real. And other things, the Chayes Malachim, and Kisei HaKabod, and so many different types of Malachim. The Rambam counts out 10 levels of Malachim. Malachim, Chayes HaKodesh, Ovanim, Srofim. And there's 10. There's 10 levels of Malachim. Just like you have a lieutenant and a colonel and a private and a general and a sergeant. So the Malachim have a hierarchy too. And the Rambam counts out the hierarchy in the beginning of the Rambam, Yad HaChazaka. And there's a whole Olam Ruchni out there. There's a Shevim, even rather to the Rambam, there's no Shevim. But the consensus of everyone is there are Shevim. It's hard to know what the Rambam meant exactly. But there are Shevim, and there's Malachim, and there's all sorts of forces in the world. There's Masikim, there's Wicked Witch of the East, and there's the Wicked Witch of the West, and there's the Good Witch, and the Bad Witch. So it's all real. These are all ruchniistic forces. So he's going to describe them. And then he's going to talk about the link and how Hashem has an entire army as his beck and call. Hashem works through channels. It's like a malchus, and he has agents, and this is how things happen. And you just always have to keep in mind that they're not independent, and that's why one of the 39 imams that you're not allowed to daven to any of these forces. We can learn about all the tremendous power wielded by malachim and wielded by all sorts of forces, but they're not independent powers. And that's why it's one of the 13 Ikrei Hadas, not to daven to any power, even if it's powerful, other than Hashem, because nothing's an independent power. Everything is, in the scheme of things, what Hashem uses to have His will be done. Chelkei Klal HaBriya Shnayim. There's two realms in the world. Reality. The Bria is reality. Hashem created. So there's two realms there. We don't think of one as reality because we can't sense it with our senses. And that's what he's coming to disabuse us right away of that notion. There's two parts to reality. Gashmiyim, physical things. Baruchniyim, what we call spiritual things. That's the words we use for it. Hagashmiyim, we could sense it with our senses. We could experience it with the five senses that man has. You could see it, you could hear it, you could smell it, you could taste it. The five senses are meant to experience physical things. Now, sometimes we need tools. It doesn't make it any less physical. You need microscopes sometimes to see certain things. They're still physical. You need telescopes to see certain things. They're very small, very far away, but they're physical. So we're not talking about tools as tools. So that doesn't make it... When you say they can be felt with our senses, it's not contradictory to say through the use of tools also. Even though Ramchal wasn't talking about that, but we know now that with the right tools, you could peer up into the sky, and there's a telescope up there, there's a spacecraft, and you're looking, I don't know what they call a million light miles away, light years away. So, it's not a secret. It's with your senses, it's just using tools to see much further than you would be able to see, to hear much more than you would be able to hear. Okay, the Schalkim L'Enyonim V'Tachtonim, the physical world is split, he likes to categorize things. The upper realm and the terrestrial realm. And klal hadromim hashamayim, astronomical things. Dino hagalgalim, planets, the whole kochovim, all the stars in heaven, the moon, the sun, all the bodies of shamayim. Vatachtonim, that's, the and klal mashe b'chalal hagal gal hatachto dahinu ha'aretz. What's the dividing line between shemayim and aretz? He doesn't say. Hamayim, water, avir, air, l'chol mashe b'hem and agufim hamurgoshim. Whatever in the world we could feel. So there's the elyonim and the tachtonim, which are all physical. I speculate that the Elyonim start when there's no more atmosphere, right? The Earth's atmosphere only goes to a certain point. So that's what I have no rise. I'm thinking if there's Tachtonim and Elyonim, and Tachtonim is Oretz and Elyonim is Shemayim, so I would think that someone could say when there's no more pull of gravity. I don't know. Whatever he doesn't say. Doesn't matter. Probably. They're all Shemayim. So I don't know. My speculation is if there's no more atmosphere, but it doesn't. This is something I want to understand. There must have to be a dividing line, right? Okay, it doesn't matter. I mean, maybe it does matter, but he doesn't talk about it. That wasn't a joke. Maybe it does matter, but he doesn't talk about it. He doesn't talk about why, what's Elyonim and what's Tachtonim. We say it in davening, if you say different parts of davening, we say, Umi b'chamasi, when a person puts on tefillin, you wouldn't know this. It says, Umi b'chamasi, יודחו בעליונים או בתחתונים שיאמר לך מה תעשה. Okay, and we say that in the paragraph after Mekadesh Yeshem Chava Rabbim, after who Hashem Elokim B'Shemayim Gvorot V'Shemayim Shemayim Ha'Elyonim, Emes HaTorah Yishom Tachronu, Yibol Adar Ein Elokim, Kaveh Tzkovech, I don't know if you have to say that, Yakim Vidu Kovoyom, Tachronu, 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 If you look out the window and look, that's all. You know, the Russian astronaut that went up, the first astronaut that went up, so they taught him to say, you know, Russia then was very powerful and very atheistic. And they were rotate religion. So we have the last laugh. We're looking back in history and they lasted 90 years. The Malchus Orisha lasted 90 years. But, of total atheism. The Tsar was also terrible, you know, but in a different way. But the atheistic... anyway, so they taught the Russian astronaut, you laugh, but they taught him when he went up, and he said, I looked outside, I didn't see any gods. So I think that's such a stupid thing to say, that you would think an intelligent person should be embarrassed to say such a stupid remark. But they told him to say it, he said it, and people said, ooh, taka. That's stupid, right? Okay. Anyway, he's dead now. So.
Now he knows there is a God.
Well, yeah, he found out very quickly. You know, who's a Nietzsche or something went out like, God is dead. You ever hear that expression, God is dead, from, yeah, I think, yeah. Nietzsche. So I saw once in a book, you know, a graffiti on a subway wall, Nietzsche is dead, God.
But
okay. L'chol ma'ashevahem min ha'gufim ha'murgoshim. For Ruchniyim, now, he categorizes everything, and this is, the Ramchal didn't make these things up. He had to have them in Besorah. I mean, you don't figure these things out. Maybe you have rayas from Zohar that this is the way it is. But Pashtus, he talks about it in different places. He just throws out the word Besorah. You do a lot of Besorah. For Ruchniyim ein nivra b'shulola migeshem. So right away, we have no way of imagining it. Because we imagine, we don't know what to imagine. Like, our minds do not grasp things that are mishulo, that are devoid of any physicality, because we only know what we know with our senses. And so a seichel is knowledge, but we don't think of it as reality. It's just it's an idea, you know. So, but built in murgoshim echusheinu. That's what he says. They can't be experienced with the senses. That's ruchni. Now that means ideas are also ruchnius. When we'll see. Echad neshamos. Neshamos is a spiritual entity. Two different types of entities. There's one entity that is going to go on a journey that no other spiritual entity is going to go on. It's going to go into a guf that's physical, and is going to hook up with it, and they're going to be bonded together. And that's tremendous chiddush, and that's like, four of the Marishal's cheder was supposed to be a certain way. But the point is, very clear demarcation between Ruchnius and Gashmius, except for the category of Ruchnius, the entity called the Neshama, and it's Ruchnius, but it's going to go into a guf. Like, amazing. It's a chiddush. We are the only humankind, mankind, are the only things in the entire everything of the Bria that has this connection. Everything else is either physical or spiritual. And any connection he's going to talk about, whether it's the physical affecting the spiritual, because we're going to learn it's like links in a chain, and everything physical is linked until it gets to its totally spiritual source, and everything like that, but it's physical and spiritual and physical. Or it goes up, or it goes down along that chain. And this is the reason mankind is so chashuv, even though we're so puny, and we don't live very long, and we, in many ways, our physicality is like weaker than animals, right? It takes a long time for a child to be able to do anything for itself. Animals, like, boom, 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 they're right away off and running. And spiritually, we're also a sad story, if you compare us to Malachim at first. This is the story of mankind. This is the story of, not of mankind, this is the story of the Bria. We are the purpose of the Bria. We control the whole world. We control the whole Bria. Because we're the only ones where there's a connection between the physical and the spiritual. There are spiritual beings and physical beings, and there's one type of creation that has both linked. And that's the prototype of the link of all the worlds, of all the Bria, of everything. Because everything is linked. All the spiritual stuff, all the physical is linked to spiritual, all the physical, but it's channeled through man. Because only in man do they come together. Otherwise, you know, east is east and west is west, and never the twain shall meet. Man is the place where physical and spiritual hook up. Okay, but meanwhile we're learning definitions really in categories. Hecha neshamos, that's why it's a category in itself. It might not be any more or less spiritual than, let's say, he'll say malachim. So you have to understand. We understand very clearly what's a chair, what's a table, what's a fork, what's a spoon, what's a rain and snow and earth and air, and because it's gashmi, we sense it with our senses. To us, all spirituality, all spiritual beings are all one thing. But it's not true. If you know anything about the physical world and you know physics, and you know how super duper complex the physical world is, and that now that we know about atoms and molecules and parts and all the everything and gravity, and like it's like a whole, all the stuff that, all that's going on in the spiritual world too. We just don't even know how to think about it, because to us, you know, spiritual is spiritual, and it's just a word, and we can't conjure up anything in our minds when we think about it, except if we make some sort of physical image in our minds. But all the diversity of species and complexity of physics and chemistry and everything has its counterpart in the spiritual realm. And not just its counterpart, but the Ramchal will say it's links in a chain. That the real source of H2O, let's say, being water, to pick one example of billions and billions and billions of examples, the real source of that is in the ruchniistic world. There's a ruchni counterpart of hydrogen, there's a ruchni counterpart of oxygen, and when they come together, there's a ruchni counterpart of water. It happens up there, in ruchnius. Then it's mishtal shel, till we get to our world. Starts off with purely, and there's millions of links. Tanya talks about this too. Millions of links. So the first link on that end is spiritual, and the spiritual will drop the physical, drop more, and after a million links, you're down to water, which is physical, purely physical.
Right, so every physical thing is tied to a spiritual thing.
Yes, we're going to learn that. I'm
not
jumping
only
ahead.
Human beings, but
absolutely. Not only everything, but every event. It happens in Shemayim first. We're getting stale news. It happens in Shemayim. It happens first in Shemayim. If Russia gets overthrown, if the Beis HaMikdash is Nechrav, if Trump's elected president, if North Korea starts a war, everything that happens is Hishtalshelus from the Malachim. I'm jumping ahead. We're going to talk about this. It's happening in Shemayim. And that's a famous idea where the Gemara gives us a glimpse of that, where Hashem tells Titus, or a basketball comes out from Shemayim and tells Titus, who destroys the Beis HaMikdash, he says, don't be such a big shot. You didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was already destroyed. We destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. In Shemayim, Titus didn't do anything. Titus has no power in Shemayim. We enabled in Shemayim, and it's a horrifying thought, and that's what the Netzach Chaim says in a very stark, horrifying way, and you read it, and you start shaking, and then you have a different tissue bottle. We destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, because it got destroyed in Shemayim. Titus just was down here, the end of the Hishtalshelus. So Titus was able to destroy it. But the Gemara says, a Pascha went out and said, you know, a burnt house you burnt. You ground up wheat that was already ground up. You didn't do anything. Don't be such a big shot. You didn't do anything. When we see in Rashi, maybe you might remember that Bnei Yisrael say Nehem, and they saw Mitzrayim, Nosei Afraim, they saw the Sarkel Mitzrayim. Right? The battle was between the forces in Shemayim. The Malach of Mitzrayim was claiming Elu Velu Ovdei Avodah Zarahem. The fight, when there's Mohammed, when there's terrorism, when there's all the things that go on in the world, and if Trump is going to, we think, we you know, because we're physical beings. We think, oh, Trump is the right manager, so what? It's happening in Shemayim. And it might not be a good thing, who knows, but it's happening in Shemayim. But I'm really jumping ahead. Please, stop. It's my fault. I jumped ahead because I want to give you a taste of what we're going to get into. But first, he's putting everything with labels and categories, as he did in the beginning of the Sefer, if you might remember. And now he's doing it now, because he's going to end up with Hashgacha. He's going to end up with how Hashem does things, Lamata. So he wants you to notice Gashmius and Ruchnius. In Gashmius, there's Elyonim and Tachtonim. In Ruchnius, there's Neshamos, which are spiritual entities which are going to go into a physical entity. V'hasheni Nivdalim. And then there are spiritual entities which are completely transcendent, and they will never connect in that way to physicality. They will never become part of anything physical. They're Nivdalim. They're completely transcendent. Ha'neshamos heimim nivron ruchniyam. The neshamos are spiritual entities created. His adu, that's from the word asid. They were created with the goal, lovo b'toch haguf, to enter the guf. Ligovel b'tocho, this is an amazing chiddush. This is the only thing in the world that happened. Ligovel means like when you need a dough. You call it gibol, right? You're mixing the flour and the water and you get a dough. So the neshama and the guf gets mixed together and produces a man, a woman, produces mankind. The gavel b'tocho, the kashabo b'kesher abitz, and it's totally intertwined, right? The lifel b'pulo shonos, there's manim shonim. It's in this world, and then there's after tchias hamesim, the neshama affects the guf. The guf might affect the neshama if he eats a horror, gets the better of you. Right? They affect each other. But they're kashur, they're ligogel b'tocho, they're a dough, a mixture. They're completely inextricably tied with each other. A kesher amitz, a very strong kesher, because it's like a new entity, some sort of hybrid of ruchni and gashmi. Amazing. And they connect, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to one explanation of the Shulchan Aruch, when we say Asher Yatzar, and we say Rofeichol Basar Umafli La'asos, he does wondrous things, so it refers to this. wondrous things, tying something gashmi with something ruchni. That's according to one pshat. The Shulchan Aruch, that's what it umatzlila asos means. And if dolim, those things that are spiritual and totally transcendent and are not fated to go into a guf, hey, mitnevram ruchniyim, they're, you know, types of spiritual entities. Bilti mu'utadim agufos klal, they're not fated to enter into a guf, they will always just be ruchni. And wouldn't you know it? There are two categories. This is going to be on the test. It's not on the essay test. It's going to be on the short answer test. Now this is echad nikra kochos v'hasheni malachim. Okay, what are kochos? So according to Chaim Friedlander, beer and Derech Chaim, kochos means you have to realize everything is a creation. Hashem is Hashem. Hashem is Echad. Hashem is not made up of parts. Everything is created by Hashem. Hashem is not made up of parts. Hashem is not murkav. Hashem is completely whole and one. I think we're probably somewhat familiar with the idea that there are emanations coming from Hashem. We call it the Esos Spheros. And it's Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod. They are concepts. Forces in the Bria is a force, a spiritual force called Chesed. Is a spiritual force, Gevura. Is a spiritual, and these are things that were created. Is a spiritual force, Teferes, Netzach, Hod. Chochma, I'm skipping this 10 altogether, the 7 Midos and Chochma Bina Vadas. Right? 10 spiritual forces. It's a force, it's a koach. They're not malachim. Rav Friedlander explains they're concepts, they're entities, but they're spiritual forces. They have no identity. A malach has an identity. A malach, we talk about this malach. And that malach. Sometimes we give it names. Gabriel, Michoel, Uriel. Sometimes we give it names. But the name, we'll see the difference, but he's trying to have us understand the difference at this point. They have different roles. Ramchal will talk about different roles they have. But he wants us to understand. The kochos have no identity. You don't talk about this chesed, that chesed. This chesed. It's a force in the world. It's a spiritual force, not a physical force. There's a spiritual emanation, there's a spiritual radiation that Hashem created. You say it comes from Hashem, but Hashem is not made up of Chesed plus Chesed, from Chesed plus Gvura plus Teferes plus Netzach plus Hod plus, Hashem is Echad. Hashem is not made up of parts. So these are kochos, these are called spiritual forces, and they are they're spiritual forces, and we'll talk about it. We try to access them. We try to access Chesed. We try to access Gevura. In the physical world, there's a force called gravity. There's a force called magnetic forces. There's all different kinds of forces. So the spiritual is called as forces. The forces that don't have an identity. They don't have an awareness. There's no self-awareness, self-identity. That's called kochos. And then there's malachim. Malachim are forces. He'll elaborate more on how Hashem, what the role of a malach is, and what the role of the kochos are. Rav Chaim Friedlander just is defining them, wants you to understand what we're talking about. Kochos are spiritual forces like chesed, gevura, teferes, netzach, hod, etc., that do not have self-awareness, that they don't have an identity. They're more just conceptual spiritual forces. And then there's malachim. Okay. Have a nice day. Now we'll go eat lunch.
Aren't they tools?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We got lots to learn, ladies.